love me as you say you have, if you know me by name as you say you do, then Lord, please hear what I'm asking you. It's on the basis of what God has said. He's not claiming this for any other reason, is he? It's on the basis of the word of God, the promise of God to him. That's a great place to start to pray. When we pray, it's a great place. Ask yourself, what has God said about you? What has God said about you in his word? What does he say of you in his relationship with you? Does he not say, I have called you by name, you are mine? Does he not say that you have been adopted into his family and you are his child? So you're not talking to a God who's out there somewhere, some detached deity. You're talking to your father and you're his child. Fully adopted into his family. Not one, not less than the angels, actually more precious to him than the angels. In a relationship with him. Remind him of that. He's shed his blood, as we've reminded ourselves and remembered this evening. He's the one who shed his blood to redeem you, to forgive you. It says in the scriptures that he chose you and gave himself up for you. It says that he's loved you. Scriptures say, the scriptures being God himself speaking to us, that when you trusted Jesus, he declared you innocent. Now, you didn't feel that. You didn't know that, did you? Justification isn't something that you feel. But the scriptures say when you trusted Jesus, God declared you to be innocent. He passed this edict in heaven. That person is innocent. I'm declaring him not guilty of all the charges that anyone can bring against him. That's what God has said about you. Now, when you pray to him, how about reminding him of some of that? I mean it reverently. Lord, this is what you've said. This is the relationship that you have. This is what you've said about me and what you've done for me. The basis of your requests. It's not out of pity. It's what he said of you. That's the first thing. The second thing, having looked at the basis of his request, look secondly and think about the nature of his requests. What he actually, the kind of things that he asks for. In verse 12, he says, still in that same verse, he says, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've been telling me, lead these people. Moses asked God for things that would help him do the work that God had given him. God had given him the work to lead the people. And what he's asking for is help in order to do that. Lord, you give me a job. What I'm asking for most of all is that you will help me do that. And that's really important. The command had been given to him, you know, years before, when he'd been out in the desert of Midian and he'd seen the burning bush and God had commanded him, commissioned him. He'd had real problems accepting that commission at the time, hadn't he? But that was the first time. And the way that the Hebrew comes out, the commentators tell me that it's like God has continually kept on telling him that. It's not just a one-off thing. You have been telling me to lead these people. Lord, if you've been telling me, then please, will you help me to do the work that you're telling me to do? He doesn't argue about the work. He'd argued about that before, but he is concerned about who will help him. He'd had problems about that before, hadn't he? You remember when he'd, after the burning bush, he had this tete-a-tete with God, and I can't speak, and I stutter, and who am I to go before Pharaoh, and all this stuff. And in the end, God says, all right, well, here's your brother Aaron to speak for you. You can go together. He'll be your helper. So previously, when he was in a position of fear before Pharaoh, he'd got Aaron. But after they've got out of Egypt, Aaron has proved to be pretty useless, hasn't he? He's gone up, Moses himself is up the mountain. What's happened with Aaron down on the valley floor? Aaron is there making a golden calf. Oh, no, sorry, he didn't make it, did he? He put the gold in and it out came the calf. Moses, Aaron has not proved to be a particularly reliable person. And Moses now recognizes, he knows that as he leads the people forward to go into the promised land of Canaan, this is a huge challenge for two reasons. Canaan was full of people who hated them, of fearsome warriors. And the people that are with him, the Israelites, are far better moaners than warriors. So here he is going with this group of people who all they seem to know is to moan and grumble and criticize. And he's got to lead these people into a land to take over the land, get rid of the Canaanites and all the inhabitants with this group of moaning minis. No wonder he says, Lord, you've asked me to do this job. I need to know what help I've got. He couldn't trust the people, so he wants more information about just who it is that will help him. He also wants to know God's ways. He prays specifically, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. He said, if you're pleased with me, that I may know you. Where are we? The phrase I'm looking for. Verse 12. You've found favor. You've said, I know you by name. You've found favor with me. Okay. I'm still struggling to find the word that I'm looking for. He wants to know the Lord's ways. Come on, help me. Where does it say about show me your ways? That's it. Verse 13. It's not verse 12. That's why I couldn't see it. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways. He wants to know the Lord's ways. So he wants to know who will go with him, but he wants to know the Lord's ways. And when it says, show me your ways, he's not asking for directions to Canaan. That's not the ways. He's not looking for a sat-nav. He's not asking the Lord for a sat-nav to show him the way. He wants to know God's ways. In other words, what God would want him to do. What are the ways of God? What's the nature of God? What is God like? The way God thinks. The way that God would do things. Show me, Lord, how you want it done. The ways of the Lord. In other words, what he's asking for is greater knowledge of God himself. He wants to know what God is like, the nature, the character of God. God, show me more of what you're like. That was what Moses was praying for. And it wasn't simply in order to fill his head with knowledge, but to enable him to successfully fulfill his commission. Lord, you've said lead these people, so please, will you show me your ways? Show me yourself. Show me what you want to do, because if I'm going to lead them, then I need to know what you're like so that I don't do things wrong and we do things that are right in your sight. He wanted to know these things. He made his prayer so that he could do his job for God properly, because it wasn't about him, it was about God and his glory. You notice what he says, Lord, verse 12, remember that this nation is your people. That was what it was. These are your people, they're not my people, Lord. You've said these are my people, but they're your people, Lord. This is about you, this is about your glory. And he's going to go on and he's going to argue, what are they going to think about you, Lord? What are they going to say about you and your people if you don't do this? These are your people, it's about God. So here he is, he's reminding God about his plans, his purposes, his promises. These are his covenant people. Remember, Lord, these are your people, he says at the end of verse 13. These are not just some ragtag bunch of random people that I've picked up on the way. These, Father, are your people. You saved them. You rescued them. You covenanted with them. You made the promises to Abraham. You made the promises. You reaffirmed them to Isaac and to Abraham and to Jacob. Lord, these are your people. You can't just let them go now. You can't forget what you have said to them. You made promises to them. You committed yourself to them. And so he reminded God of his own relationship with him, but he also reminds God of God's relationship with his people as well. His relationship as an individual, but the nation's relationship with God as a group of people. It's like he says respectfully, God, you can't just walk away from this. You can't let this thing fail. These are your people. Your honor is at stake. The prayer is for God. The prayer is about God's glory. You want to know how to get your prayers answered? Your prayers have got to be made for the glory of God. You've got to ask things that will bring glory to God. And God grants his request. Verse 14, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. This was God's promise to Moses. The angel of verse 2 is where it says about my angel will go with you. What we find here is the angel is not just the messenger, but it's God himself. That would be a tremendous encouragement to Moses as he was going forward. But at this point, you may or may not have noticed, this is a promise to Moses, not the people. It doesn't come across very well in our English translation, but in the Hebrew, the I will go with you is in the singular. I will go with you, Moses. Not the people. And so in that much, God's promises fell short of what Moses really wanted. What Moses most wanted was that God would be back among his people. Not just with him, but among the people. He wanted the breach to be healed, where God had said, I'll not go with you, I'm going to destroy you. Okay, Moses, then I'll go with them, but I'm not going to be among them. Moses says, look, I want you to be among us, Father. Not just a distant God. So he boldly continues the case with God and comes to this second level of petition in verses 15 through to 17. Notice now then, we're going to look at the subject of his requests. He says in verse 15, let's read these again. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with, what's the word? Us. It's not just me. He's not concerned about himself. It's about us. Do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Praying for God's people, and he's identifying with God's people. Do you see that? It's us. He doesn't say, will you go with me and with them? It's us. There's an identification here. He's not interested simply in what's good for him. He's concerned for the good of the people, the nation, the people of God, and therefore ultimately, as it's coming across, I hope, time after time, for the glory of God. And again, God answers him. And grants his request, I will do this thing, he says in verse 17. He says, I will do this thing that you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Now, what does this tell us about successful intercession with God? Just a little bit of a recap. If we want our prayers answered, we need to pray on the basis of relationship, our relationship with God. It's not that he owes us anything, but on the basis of what he's said, and on the basis of what he's promised to us, on the basis of our relationship with him. If we want our prayers answered in the second thing, we need to pray for the things that will extend his kingdom, his purposes, and not for our own agenda. So we're back to where we were looking at a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, where we were looking at our motives. What are we asking for, and why are we asking for them? Why do we pray for what we pray? Sure, Moses asked for things for himself, but only so that he could serve the Lord. So that he could fulfill the ministry that God had given him. And so often I think we end up praying for things for our own sake, for our own ease, for our own pleasure. Lord, would you do this? Would you do that? Would you give me this job? Would you, you know, heal me here and help me there? Would you do this for... And it's actually not about the Lord. Now, the Lord may be gracious and answer those prayers. But there's no guarantee. He's not obliged to. But when we ask for things for his glory, there is almost, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, but I'm putting a high bar here, there is almost an obligation on God to answer when we pray for his glory. for his sake. The golden rule is to pray for what God would want. Hence he says, show me your ways. Pray for things that will obviously, clearly bring him glory. And I know what goes through my mind, and it's going through it even as I'm saying this. We'll pray for somebody to be healed, because that will bring glory to the Lord, won't it? But our motive actually isn't to bring glory to the Lord. Our motive is still because we really want that person to be made well. Oh, how deceitful the heart is. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. When we acknowledge him, when we trust him with all our heart, when we put him first, when we acknowledge him, then he will make our paths straight. Then he will guide us. Then he will direct us. Then he will do the very things that we're asking for. What Moses knew so well, and here's the secret to answered prayer, is to align his requests with the things that he knew would please God, the things that God would want. And where he wasn't sure, he asked to get to know God better so that he would know what God wants. Show me your ways. Pray that prayer, God will always answer it. Obviously, there are things that you then need to do in terms of the discipline to know God's ways. He's given us his word, he's given us his people, and we haven't got time to go into that tonight. There are means that God uses for these. We need to use the means. It naturally follows, and we're getting to the end here, but it naturally follows, if we want our prayers to be answered, we need to be living in a relationship that pleases him. That doesn't put God under an obligation, because everything we have is of grace and mercy from God. But if we live in a relationship, if we live in a way that's not going to please him, how can we possibly ever expect God to grant our prayers? That's gone. That must be time to finish. Somebody put a timer on me tonight. Oh, no. We need to live in a way and a relationship that pleases him. We are accepted. We are perfect in Jesus. But we have to ask the question, does our daily life please him? Does our life match up with him? Is he pleased with my priorities? Is he pleased with the things that fill my thoughts? Is he pleased with my attitudes to others? And it's easy to love those who love us. The thing with Jesus' teaching was that we're to love our enemies. So the key thing is, not do we love the nice people, but do we love the nasty people? Is he pleased with that? That's a big thing. Is he pleased about the way I spend my money? Is he pleased with the company I keep? Is he pleased with the attitudes I let settle in my mind? And the thoughts I let settle there? Is he pleased with my goals and my aspirations in life? And if we find ourselves, when we line those things up with the standards of God, if we find ourselves saying, well, probably he's not very pleased with me, then if you really covet the presence of God and the blessings of God, if we really want our prayers answered, then there's only one way of putting it. We have to put that which is wrong right. We have to make the necessary changes in our lives. One last thing. What we see here in Moses' ministry is a brilliant portrayal of the life and ministry of Jesus. Have you noticed that as we've gone through? One of the things I said about how Moses identified with the people as well as praying for them. He said, us. He identified with the people. It wasn't just them. One of the great things of Jesus was that he came and became one of us. God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is one of us. And he prays for us as his brothers and sisters. He prays for you, not as one of them, but one of mine. You're one of his. He's one of us. He identified with us. He lived a life that was pleasing to God. He lived for the glory of God, and he lives as our great intercessor. Moses stood here in the gap between God and the people, and he pleaded for them. He interceded for them. Jesus is our intercessor. He's our mediator, without whom we would have no hope, without whom we would still be alienated from God, completely cut off from God. Today he's in heaven. Maybe we can imagine him praying something like this. Father, this is your child. Father, they've mucked up. Father, they've messed up again. Father, they've let you down. But Father, you promised. You promised that those who I died for, those who trusted me, those who asked me to forgive, you would declare them innocent. And you would watch over them, and you would keep them, and you would bring them safely through to the end. Father, on the basis of your promises, on the basis of our relationship, on the basis of my relationship with these people, Father, have mercy. Forgive them. Father, if you're pleased with me and if you're satisfied with the work that I did for you on the cross, then you've got to accept that. Because that's what it comes down to. Is God satisfied with the work of Jesus or not? How do we know that the Father was satisfied with Jesus and the work he did for you? He raised him from the dead, didn't he? He was raised for our justification, Paul says. Because Jesus has raised, we know he was satisfied. Jesus is there as our intercessor, pleading for us. Not pleading in the sense of there's a begrudging God, but praying for us, making the case on our behalf. How wonderful is Jesus? How much we depend upon him. How grateful we should be for him. And yet for all this, Moses isn't yet finished with God. He's got God to promise that he's going to come back among them. He's got God to promise all these wonderful things, but he's not yet finished. He's on a roll. He's on the victory march of prayer. And so in verse 18, I'm not going to go any further than this. Now show me your glory. He says, Lord, you've given me one thing. You've given me two things. You've given me three things. Lord, while we're here, can I ask for one more thing? We'll have a look at that prayer and the answer to that next time. Let's just pray. We're going to thank God for Jesus. The music team, if you could just